This is the Help My Website Sucks podcast, your bite-sized guide to web design. I'm Amy Gumbrell, a freelance WordPress web designer. And when I'm not building utterly functional and beautiful websites, I love talking about them. In fact, I'm on a mission to make websites next level easy and to make sure that your website doesn't suck. As part of this series, I wanted to talk about a page that often divides opinion amongst marketing folk, content creators, copywriters, and well, basically anyone working with or on websites. The decision to include a frequently asked questions page on your business website is, like all the pages, completely up to you and what you want to use your website for. However, many people believe that they have no place in the modern day and serve little purpose. And I've actually found a brilliant example of this opinion on the gov.uk website, where they talk about why they don't use FAQs on their website. And I'm going to talk about that more later. And of course, I'll link to it in the show notes. So with that in mind, in this episode, I'm going to offer my own possibly unpopular opinion on why I think FAQs, frequently asked questions, when implemented correctly, that's the key, can be useful for your audience and can offer value to your business. So I'm going to wade on into this debate and get on with it. FAQs came about as a way of offering self-service customer service. It helped organizations collate questions they were asked on a regular basis and offered immediate responses. As the format has been around for many years, originating in the 1980s with the start of the internet, it became a familiar sight on websites, so businesses just kept on creating FAQ pages as it was considered the norm. However, as I'm sure you would agree, the internet has changed considerably since then, and websites are now just one piece in the digital strategy puzzle of a business. And by that, I mean that there are many ways to find out the answer to FAQs without having to trawl through the individual website. And yep, I'm referring to that Google, that Bing, and other search engines. In fact, there are many that believe that this is the very reason why the FAQ has had its day and should be allowed to retire gracefully. The argument is that if they are truly a question, so if it's truly a question that gets asked a lot, you should actually already be covering this in your business content creation. So copy on your website, any blog posts you've written, social media posts, case studies, and so on. Whilst I don't really disagree with this statement, I think you really should definitely be looking at ways to help your customer by busting myths or explaining technical things in a simpler way through your content. I really do still believe that the FAQ does still have a home, in some cases, on some websites, if implemented correctly. Let me tell you what I mean by implemented correctly. So yes, it's clear that a long list of questions and answers crammed into a page on your website is going to be difficult to read and process. True. In fact, I would agree that it's very bad practice, and it's something I strongly recommend not in bold, not doing on your website. But if I were to offer categories and chunk the FAQs into topics, well, this would be easier to access and be much more visually appealing. And so I've had a think about this, and I think that I've got 5 top tips that helps you stick to some key points to create a great FAQ. So top 5 tips for a great FAQ. Here we go. Oh, and by the way, before I start, I might sound a little bit telling off here, because there's lots of things here that I really think you need to take on board. It's so important if you're going to use FAQs correctly. So number 1, they have to be easy to find and navigate. So link to them in your main menu or add a link in your footer. Make it easy for people to search for them. That's an easy one, isn't it? What about number 2? My second top tip, write the question using I, as this is how your customer would ask it. For example, they want to know, how can I return an item? Not, how can you return an item? And jargon, oh my gosh. Your customer doesn't speak like that, so don't write like it. Simple. Number 3, important one here. Keep your answer short and don't link anywhere else. Keep your answer there. Keep it short. They don't want to be taken away to another part of your website or to someone else's website. It's just annoying. Told you I was going to get a bit like this, didn't I? My tone's getting more and more telltale off, if that's a word. Number four. So for yes or no questions, your answer should get to the point by starting with a yes or a no. People want a straight answer, not some wishy-washy, umming and ahhing answer. A little bit similar to the one before, but this is specific to yes and no answers. And I think my final tip is add in some personality. This helps to lighten the boringness of a FAQ section or page, and it's a nice way of reminding your potential customer that there is a human behind the website. Okay, so those are my five top tips. Let's move on to a final advantage of a great FAQ page on your website, and this is a big one. It's related to SEO or search engine optimization, which is an ongoing process, and a well-written FAQ page can improve this. When we use a search engine, we often type in a question. It's just what we do. Usually we're writing about our problem rather than what the solution is. If we knew the answer, we wouldn't be on there. If you can tap into the way your audience asks the question, these targeted queries will better match your FAQ. So people will get sent to the most relevant place immediately. It's always a win when you find the answer to your question quickly. I know that, you know that. So do that on your websites, please. So before I wrap up this episode, I want to go back to something I said earlier on about a blog article I found on the gov.uk website. It was from 2013, so we are 10 years on, but I found it fascinating because they set out why they don't have FAQs on their website. And it's about why they don't recommend them as well. So everyone is, of course, entitled to their own opinion. I've just given mine. And they cite speed as an issue, duplication, and even then it's tonally wrong for them as an organisation, which all sound very reasonable, but it's the final one that actually made me giggle. They'd used a post on Twitter, as it was back in 2013, to argue that Twitter agrees with them. I'm sorry, what now? To be fair, the actual post that they link to does make sense. It says, FAQs are a way to show that you've thought about what your users should know, but haven't thought about your users. However, for me, it's the idea that a whole social media platform says it's bad. So that's what we're going to go with. Okay, thanks, gov.uk. So as I said at the start, there really are some strong opinions about FAQs on websites out there. But there still remain some good reasons to keep them. Have you already got a page dedicated to FAQs on your website? Does it work for you? I'd love to know. And, oh, did Twitter make you do it too? I'd love to hear from you. If you're hearing this message, you've reached the end of another Help My Website Sucks podcast episode. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate it. And if you need help with your website, get in touch at twocowsweb.co.uk. And until next time, bye-bye for now.